Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Say that to my face. Look at me in the eyes and tell me that. Look at me when I'm talking to you. Those are all phrases that we use when we are trying to get someone to speak to us the truth. When we want to get to the heart of the matter, there's an intimacy, a transparency, a depth of consciousness that takes place when we communicate with somebody face to face. It's much harder to mask our feelings when we speak to someone face to face. Much harder to deny our own culpability when we are forced to face those whom we have wronged in some way. In fact, that's why I think our parents, when we were young, used to drag us to go to the person's house, the little boy or girl that we had hurt or made fun of at school, so that we could apologize to them to their face. Or when we broke the neighbor's window out playing ball, our parents would take us and make us go talk to the neighbors face to face. It's that very same reason I think that we get in trouble so easily today in places like Twitter and Facebook. Because on those sites, through those avenues of communication, we don't have to look at anybody face to face. We can demean them and demoralize them and put them down without having to look at them. I find it interesting that when a little child tries to hide from you, they simply cover their face. They think that somehow, if they have covered their face, they are hiding. And I guess to a certain extent, that's true. In fact, my own dog thinks that. Dog has done something wrong. Maybe you have a dog that's like this. And Toby? And he comes to me and he puts his paw up and he covers his face. To see someone face to face is to see a person in a most revealing and intimate way. I believe it's for that very reason that the Lord states in Exodus chapter 33 that no one may see the face of God and live. You see, that encounter is too revealing. It's too deep. It's too telling. There's just no way for a sinful human being to assimilate the glory and the grandeur of God's face. It's simply too overwhelming. And yet, our Old Testament lesson this morning tells us, and I quote, "There had never arisen a prophet since in Israel, like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face," unquote. The scriptures also tell us that each time that Moses went to speak to God, to talk to him to his face, that Moses' own face became brilliantly light. It was radiant. Somehow, by God's grace, Moses was able to speak to God face to face and yet live. Same sort of thing happened this morning as we read about in our gospel reading, in the event of the Transfiguration. As the disciples, at least three of them, Peter, James, and John, went onto that mountainside with Jesus, the scriptures said that they saw him transfigured before them. The appearance of his face was somehow altered, and his clothes shined. They became a dazzling white. One of the gospel texts says, whiter than anyone could ever bleach them. You see, the mask of Jesus' humanity was peeled back so that they could see him in all of his glory. That glory which he shared with the Father from the very beginning. That glory which belongs to God alone. For those few moments on that Mount of Transfiguration, those three disciples saw and knew God face to face as they saw him in the unmasked glory of Jesus. It's no wonder that Peter exclaimed and proclaimed, "Master, it's good for us to be here." Yeah, so good, in fact, that he wanted to build three tents so they could just stay there a while. Oh, to be like Moses. To be like one of these three disciples. To look upon the face of God. To know him. And to be known by him. To see him face to face. Can you imagine how incredible that would be? But we are sinners. The glory of his presence would be too much for us to bear. In Isaiah 6, we read these words. In the year that King Uzziah died, I, this is Isaiah speaking, saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And I cried out, "Woe to me! I am ruined! For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah knew he was in trouble. For the poverty of his sinfulness could not contain the wealth of God's purity and God's presence. And yet, Isaiah did not suddenly melt away, you know, kind of like the witch in the Wizard of Oz. He didn't suddenly die. The text continues. Then one of the seraphs, that's an angel, then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Isaiah could look on the face of God. He could look at him eye to eye and face to face and live because his sin had been taken away. It had all been atoned for by God. And so it is with us. Though we are sinful and cannot bear the purity of God's presence, yet God in Christ has taken away our sin. He has atoned for us. Jesus' death and his resurrection paid the debt of our sin so that now we can stand before God blameless with all of our sin forgiven and with our hearts cleansed. And thus, we can know God face to face. And the scriptures say that we will one day know him face to face. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that by God's grace, we now know the glory of God, for we have seen the glory in the face of Christ Jesus. Even though that glory in his face, as we see it in his word, as we see it in the sacrament of his body and blood and Holy Communion, although that seeing him face to face is but a poor reflection of him, There will come a day, 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us, when we shall see him face to face, and we will know him fully, even as we are already now fully known by him. And we're reminded of what that amazing experience is going to be like on that day of resurrection, the day that the Apostle John describes in Revelation 22 when he writes these words. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. In the parable that Jesus told of the Pharisee and the tax collector, Jesus said that there's this certain tax collector that went up to the temple to pray. But he stood at a distance. He wouldn't even raise his face, his head, to heaven to pray. But he beat upon his chest and he said, Lord, have mercy on me, a poor, sinful being. You see, because of his sin, he was ashamed to let God see his face. And yet Jesus said that it was this man who went home justified. This is the man who would one day stand before God and see him face to face. And so it is with us. As we come before God's altar in repentance, as we confess our sin before him, we confess our own unworthiness before him, he then pours out upon us his forgiveness, the forgiveness which Jesus won for us by his life, his suffering, his death, and his powerful resurrection. And thus, while no person who is full of sin can ever stand before God and see him face to face, yet we will. We will see God face to face because he has removed our sin from us. May we each look forward to that day with great anticipation. That day when we, like Moses, like Isaiah, like Peter and James and John, can look on the face of God and can know him face to face for all eternity. May we look forward to that day. In the name of Jesus Christ, our glorious Lord and Savior. Amen.